Welcome to Approaching the Search, Adoptees and Adoptive Parents. Thank you so much for being on this call with us. We're going to take our time this evening and discuss addressing the topic of adoptees searching for their adoptive parents, or their birth parents. And it can be often a touchy subject for both adoptees and adoptive parents. There's often concerns on both sides, so we're going to address some of those and allow everyone to share. My name is Sydney Gaskins, and I am an adoptive parent. I adopted my son, Jamil, in 2003. He was 3 years old at the time, and he's now 10. And one of the conversations that we've had is about him wanting to meet his biological mother, and it really became something that I really wanted to have conversations with other adoptees and adoptive parents about. So this is really the impetus for the call. And in my search to connect with other people who were adoptive parents or adoptees, I met online Kevin Hoffman and Nelson DeWitt, who are both on the call. So thank you so much for coming on the call, Nelson and Kevin.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for accepting. So, Nelson, would you take some time to share with everyone your story of adoption?
Sure. So, as Sydney said, my name is Nelson DeWitt. I was adopted in the early 80s from Central America, from Honduras specifically. I'm a transracial adoptee, so I grew up in a household with white parents and a brother here in the U.S. I actually have a pretty unique story in that I didn't know anything about my past, really didn't even know my birthday or my name or anything like that. And then in 1997, we got a phone call in the night saying that my birth family was looking for me. And it turned out that my parents were, I was separated from my parents in the war in El Salvador during the early 80s. My parents had been, my father had been looking for me for about 14 years, and so had my grandmother and other family members. And so in Christmas of 1997, I went down to Costa Rica, and I met my family for the first time. And since then, I've been traveling down to Central America about twice a year, and I've really kind of bonded with my family down there, and my whole family has become like really close, and we've become one big happy family.
That's really great. And I want to make sure that everyone else who's on the call right now knows that we'll have an opportunity after Kevin shares to really kind of have a roundtable discussion if you have any questions for Nelson as well. So hold your questions for a minute. So, Kevin, thank you for joining us. And please share with us your story as well and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Kevin Hoffman. I am a transracial adoptee. I'm biracial and was adopted by a white mother and father who had three children at the time. I was adopted back in 1967 in Detroit. And so I'm a transracial adoptee, and I have been searching for my birth mother and their family since 1988, since I was in college. And off and on, I've been looking. What I found out through an adoption seminar this summer was it's actually very common for adoptees to start their search and then stop and start and stop, which was comforting because that's what I've done for the last 21 years is, you know, at times I'll be really into it and emotionally I'm ready to look, and then I'll run into a dead end and then I'll stop, and that's been going on for the last 21 years. The interesting story is that about 2-3 weeks ago, I met Nelson, who's on the call tonight, through Adoption Voices. It's what I call the Facebook of the adoption world. It's a great site. And I went to his website and checked out his story and was inspired to look for my birth family. So that was on 2 or 3 Fridays ago. I did that. Was talking to another adoptee that I met online through that same website, and she gave me the name of Adoption Angel. And what an Adoption Angel is, it's someone who basically helps birth parents, adoptees, siblings of adoption look for each other. And so I gave her the information that I had, and within 2 hours, she found my birth mother, which was great news. The unfortunate news was that my birth mother died back in 2003. So I am now in the process of trying to find siblings and my birth father. So that's where I am with the search as of today.
Thank you for sharing that. I remember reading that on your page, so I was kind of wondering what happened with that. So thank you so much for sharing. And one of the things that I thought of with both of you and then having my son here was, did you all have the conversation with your adoptive parents around your desire to search for your parents, and what was their reaction? Because I have my son's mother's information, and he's always known that, but I think it's been a nervous situation for him having the conversations with me about wanting to find her.
Yeah, I'll go first. This is Kevin. Like I said, I started searching when I was in college. And interestingly enough, we never talked about that, you know, up until I was in college. And then I just felt the need to start the search then. So it was kind of a nervous conversation. I remember calling my adoptive parents at home while I was at college and explaining to them that I was going to try this. And it was a very nerve-wracking conversation because I was concerned that they would feel rejected, or, you know, I was really concerned about how they were going to take that. And fortunately, they took it really well, and, you know, looking back in that conversation now, I could tell they were just waiting for me to say something, because in that conversation, I found out more about my adoption, you know, in that hour-long conversation than I had the, you know, 18 years before that. So, yeah, it was I'd always thought about it, never said anything to my parents about it, but I was relieved that, you know, once I got it out in the open, it became this subject that we were all free to talk about.
As for myself, like I said, I had a sort of a different experience where I actually did not search for my family. My family found me, but I definitely had those feelings of looking for my family. I do remember in sort of my freshman year in high school, that was the first time where I really started thinking about, you know, wanting to go look for my parents and everything. And I never got to have that conversation with my family. I want to start searching. I want to look. I think when I was younger, my parents have told me that I did ask questions about it, and they always tried to answer honestly and upfront everything that they knew. So I feel like I grew up knowing quite a bit about my adoption. There wasn't a lot to know, but I did know a lot about it. And then when my birth family came sort of looking for me, I know that, I definitely know that there was some tension on the part of my adoptive parents. They were sort of, you know, worried. They didn't know what to expect. And while we never had, like, a sit-down conversation where we went over it, I think that over time they kind of got over those fears and everything that they were feeling, and it worked out fine. But I definitely know that from an early age, I was always interested in searching and thinking about it, and it was probably only a matter of time, if they hadn't found me, that I would have gone looking for them.
So, Kevin, I think my son actually has a question for you. So I'll let him ask his question, okay?
Okay.
Were you really thinking about, like, how you could really find your parents during the time you really didn't think about it? Did you really have that in your mind a bit? I wish that, you know, just it just happened in that institute. Already time.
He started fading in and out.
What's that?
I got most of it, I think, but he started fading in and out, so I couldn't hear all of it.
I think what he's asking is, when you started looking for your parents, was it something that kind of just came upon you? Like you said, you know, I really want to look for, were you thinking about it and thinking about it and then just said, I'm just going to go ahead and do it?
Recently or the first time?
Which one, recently or the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Recently.
Recently, yeah, it was kind of, you know, I had thought, you know, I've really gotten involved in the whole adoption thing recently. And so this has always been a thought that, you know, I knew eventually I would have to, you know, would like to find my birth parents. But there were just times when I just didn't have the emotional energy. I just, you know, in the past I had run into these roadblocks. I didn't have much information. So every time I started to search, I would always run into a dead end. And that would just become so frustrating. And so before this last time, I was just trying to get up the energy to go through this search again. Because you get really excited, and then, you know, I was getting information. This is all we have. That's all information you can have. And so I would just get frustrated and not want to go through that again. So recently I just decided, you know, this is something that I should do, and was really shocked at how quickly, you know, they were able to find my birth family. So I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't expect that. I expected it to be, you know, several weeks before I heard anything. But, I mean, now, today, with the Internet and, you know, all the search capabilities, it's actually become so much easier to find people.
Right. One question that I have, or just a topic that came to mind and we had talked about before, was the language that you all use in differentiating adoptive parents and birth parents. Have you felt like it was an issue, something that you had to have a conversation about, or is it something that you didn't think about until it kind of happened?
I guess I'll go first on this one. Personally, I don't, I feel like, you know, I do say a lot of times my adoptive parents, my birth parents, and I make that distinction, but I know that for myself, I don't really feel a distinction. I say those things mostly to clarify who I'm talking about for people who aren't close to my story and don't know me that well. With my family and friends, I always say, you know, my brother, my sister, my father, or whoever, and then sometimes I get annoyed because they don't know who I'm talking about, right? But for me, I never really had this sort of, you know, all right, this is my adoptive mother, and that's who she is, and then I'm looking for my birth mother. Even when I met my family, I never really felt that way. I don't know, maybe it was just my take on things, but I've just always kind of felt that everyone is within my family, and I think, you know, I never really had a problem. We never talked about it, because, as I said, I never said to my parents, oh, you're not my real parents or anything like that, and I think, interestingly enough, that a lot of my experiences with my birth family have kind of made me realize how much I'm like my adoptive family, and it kind of has come full circle, where I started looking for people who were like me, and then I ended up realizing that the people I was with is who I'm the most like.
Oh. I'll answer this by telling a story. When I first found out that I had located my birth mother, I called my adoptive mother and was, you know, I was kind of excited that I had found the family. And my wife was actually in the room while I was having this conversation with my adoptive mother. And I said, wow, I think I found my mother. And then after I got off the phone, my wife pointed out that I probably should have referred to her as my birth mother, which, in hindsight, man, I felt horrible about that because, you know, I'm trying to be real careful with, you know, my adoptive family and their feelings, and so I have to make it a point now to refer to her as my birth mother, because I don't want my, you know, adoptive parents to think, you know, that I consider her my mother, because I really don't. She's the person who gave birth to me, but in my heart, my parents are the ones that adopted me. I work so hard at that now, is every time I bring her up, I want to be sure to refer to her as my birth mother so that I don't offend my adoptive parents.
I actually have had a similar experience to that, where when I was first starting to meet my birth family, I got a letter from my birth father, and so my story is that my dad comes home one day, my father here comes home one day, and he calls up to me in my room and he says, "How was your day?" And I said, "Well, I got a letter from my dad." And he says, you know, his heart just sank because, you know, he felt like he was my dad. He raised me and everything. And just like you, Kevin, I think I said that not understanding what that meant to them. But even though I say that I sort of use the words freely and I sort of don't make distinctions, I have made distinctions where when I talk to my birth, like my siblings in Central America, I'll say like your father, and I'll say my father, implying, that my father is my adopted dad, and their father is my biological father, and I'm their father. So I do sometimes make distinctions, and I think where I do sort of draw lines is I say that my parents here are mom and dad, and my parents down there are my mother and my father. So I, because to me, sort of dad and mom are sort of closer, you know, they're really close parents that have raised you, whereas mother and father are sort of terms that are just, you know, they, you have a mother, you have a father. There are people, like Kevin said, who give you life. So I don't spend a lot of time now because we've really become close thinking about it, but I definitely have made some distinctions over the years.
That's interesting because because my son is 10 right now. I just remember when he was he first came to live with me when he was just before he turned. Actually, he was 3, and I remember having his life book from the social worker, and because I had cousins who had life books prior to him, I knew exactly what it was, and I didn't want to hide the fact that he was adopted. So I remember sharing with him that his mother's name was Jackie, and I said his tummy mommy, which was the best way I could explain what, you know, to a child what that is. And, you know, right now we don't really have the conversation about, you know, who's mom and who's mother in particular. But we have, kind of like you said, Nelson, had the conversation about what a mom and a dad is and what a mother and a father is, because they are unique from my experience. So, you know, I don't get upset about, you know, him saying he wants to look for his mom, because I don't know that he understands the difference at all, and I don't know that he makes a huge difference between the two. I know who he's talking about, but the verbiage, I think, from an adoptive parent's perspective, does sometimes have us wonder what is going on in the adoptee's head, because it's a special thing to become a mom knowing you haven't carried a child, and then to have someone say, "I want to look for my mom," you're kind of like, "I'm right here. I'm standing in front of you. My son has a comment. He hold on for 1 second. He has a comment.
Yes, I don't want to say a lot about what we think in my mind, what I thought my mind was, you know, I just thought it was like, you know, all my fault. You know, I really hate her for me and my mom had this conversation about a little more into more facts about myself, and I realized it was not all my fault. And like, and even though I'm really trying to start to get that into my life, you know, it's not all my fault. It's no one's fault. And I just realized that that was a big thing she did. That was amazing. She told. And I realized that my mom told me there's no other mother to give away her own birth child. And I thought my mother did that because she did. Now I realize because I'm a bitch. That's all.
You know, I want to address that real quick, because one of the things I found with a lot of adoptees that I've spoken to or adoptive parents is one of two things: they don't have a conversation, or they're afraid to share, you know, certain facts with their child. And I thought it was really important for me to share with him because he has so many questions, and he knows that I have information, right? So there are things that, you know, he had questions about why, you know, he wasn't with his biological parent. And I think it's really something that you can't step over to share with the children that it's not their fault, regardless of, you know, what has or hasn't happened, that it's something that happened, and they now have a family that loves them. And so we had a really open conversation about, you know, what it is to be adopted and what it is to have another family step in and be available for you to raise you, and to be sure that you are taken care of. And I don't want people to forget that that's a conversation that needs to be had with adoptees, and I think it's a huge thing to actually listen to what they have to say and answer their questions. And I don't know if Nelson and Kevin have had those experiences about, you know, what it was for them or what the situation was at the time that you were adopted with your parents. Did you all have those type of conversations throughout the years at all?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we had, you know, as you said, my parents did sort of a similar thing where they did tell me that I was adopted, and I always knew. And one of the things they often said to me was, we don't know who your birth parents are, but we're sure that they loved you and that they wouldn't have given you up if there wasn't any other way. And while that, like, I still had feelings of, I guess, abandonment a little bit, and many, I think that a lot of adoptive children do feel that when you're younger, especially, because you don't really understand everything that's happening. I think that was comforting, and it did help in some way. You know, I was just like, all right, you know, I do understand that the people who gave me birth aren't able or weren't able to take care of me, but I am with these people, and it does seem like they love me. You know, that's sort of the way it makes you feel. And I do think that helps a lot. And I just wanted to go back to the other point real quickly and just say that I know there are some parents on the line and on this call, and if your child does say, you know, mom, dad, I would not take it personally, like they don't consider you as their real parents or anything like that. I've always considered my adoptive parents as, like, my parents, the ones who raised me. And even when people are like, say to me, so you found your real parents, I'm like, no, I found my birth family, you know. And to me, I just want everyone to know that even though it, and say that, it doesn't really mean that we don't, you know, that we think it's something else. We know who our parents are, who raised us, and that kind of thing.
I'll add to that in that, you know, the great thing about being a transracial adoptee is you can't hide the fact that you're adopted. So, yeah, I always knew I was adopted. And I could tell you word for word every time it came up when I was younger. The verbiage was, you know, his mother gave him up for adoption because she couldn't take care of him, or she wasn't able to take care of him. And that became the standard answer. Unfortunately, that didn't answer the questions that I, to this day, still need answered. So, like I said, I'm still searching for the birth family to still find answers as to, you know, the circumstances around, you know, why I was given up for adoption. So I still search for those answers. And I don't think on the level that, you know, I did something wrong, but you just want to hear from, you know, your birth parents, you know, what they were thinking, what they were feeling, and what was going on there. I have an interesting story that once I started looking for my birth parents this last time, a couple weeks ago, I have a sister, an adoptive sister, who got pregnant when she was 16 and gave a child up for adoption, which that was 30 years ago. So then she started looking. I told her my story about looking, so then she wanted to look for her daughter. So she started looking, and again, I gave all her information to this adoption angel, and within 30 minutes, we found her daughter. And just the other day, they got to talk for the first time. And it was interesting because of what I'm going through. You know, I was kind of jealous that it was so easy for her to find this daughter, and that now she can explain to that daughter, although that daughter knew she was, you know, my sister was 16 when she had her. To me, it just means so much more to be able to ask that person and to hear it from that person's mouth what the circumstances were around, you know, giving you up for adoption. So, that, again, like I said, that's what I'm searching for in this last search.
Yeah, I want to address that from an adoptive parent's perspective, because we just had that conversation about a month ago, and I shared with him that I can't answer what was in his mother's head or his father's head. And I told him I want to be as open as I can with him. I'll share the information that I do have, but the one thing that I can't answer for him is why and what happened from their perspective. That's something that he would have to ask them. And I was really clear with him that there's some things that he has to be prepared for, you know, that either they want to share it or they don't want to share it, you know. And being prepared for that means having yourself be clear about who you are and that it's okay, that you may not get that answer. But I'm very open with him about what I do know, and that I'll support him in finding out those answers, that the questions, the answers to the questions that he has, but I can't answer those at all for him. And I think for adoptive parents who really want to support their children, that's something that we have to share with what we do know, and that we can't share the emotion, the feelings, the thoughts, you know, what was going on in the situation, because we are not their biological parents. So I didn't have to, you know, give him up or have him, you know, removed from my home or whatever the situation was. That's not something I had to deal with. So being very clear with adopted children about those situations and letting them understand what you do or don't know is a really great start, too.
Can I sort of chime in and speak up to that, Signe? This is Evelyn.
Just going to say, anyone else who had any questions or any comments. Yes, go ahead, Evelyn.
What I wanted to say about, you know, the story behind the parent's decision or whatever the circumstances were related to the adoption, we may not know, and depending on what phase of development the child or the adoptee may be in, they're really looking for different answers for different reasons coming from a different emotional state. And I think to say we don't know, it's good, because a lot of times people will make up stories. But I think one is to find out what is the story going on in the adoptee's mind? Because sometimes there's a conflict inside, you know, or something going on, and they're asking the questions to try to clarify if the story that's going on in their head and in their heart is accurate or not. So I think also getting the adoptee to verbalize what they think, and then to explore what are the emotions surrounding that, because that is really the crucial issue, because they may or may not know that what we believe or think is what affects our functioning more than anything.
Thank you for sharing that, because that definitely, at different stages, you know, he's been with me for 7 years, at different stages, there's been different questions, and the older he gets, they're a little bit more sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're attached to his development as a person, like who am I, where do I fit, why did that happen, and kind of putting the puzzles together for his own life,
mm-hmm.
which I think a good thing. It's really a good thing for him to be exploring that and being able to say, you know, where do I fit, because those of us who are in a biological family, generally, we know where we fit with everybody, you know. We know we look like this person. We know we laugh like this person. We get our height from this person or whatever. And those are maybe, you know, might be things that he's going through because it doesn't fit all the time for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like Nelson said, you know, he's a lot like me. People say he talks like you. He laughs like you. He's, you know, he's a lot like me. But then there's things that he has to fit for himself, like who do I look like? Do I look like my mother? Do I smile like my father? Am I slim like, you know, my dad? Am I tall like my mom? You know, those kind of questions. So I think kids are sometimes attached to just fitting in where he is at his age.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anyone else who had any questions or comments?
So this is Jamila. This is Jamila. And I had a question about just being able to support Jamil in, and this would, I think this would probably be for our guests on the, I'll say our guests as I'm not a call, as I'm not a guest, but about, like, your family, how best, I think the question is, and I'm sorry for, like, kind of grasping, because I'm not sure how to say, like, he's talked with me about the ideas of, like, my family versus his family, the families together, connections, and those sorts of things. And what would you say about being able to best support him as he puts together, I think, like Sydney said, where he best fits? As I had a conversation where he was talking about my brother who had a different, dad than we do. And so he's like, well, and he's kind of like not your brother. And I said, well, do you feel like you are my nephew? And he said, yes. And I said, well, he is my brother. I don't make the distinctions in that way. If you are my nephew regardless of whether or not you are blood, and he is my brother regardless of whose father he is or whose father is his and that sort of thing. So what have you found to be supportive for you with your family? And how do you think I can help him?
Well, I'll go. This is Kevin. I think what you and Sydney both have done is just amazing. Just to have, I mean, one, for a 10-year-old to be in on this conversation and to be able to verbalize what he already has is huge. I was nowhere near that at that age. I mean, so just to have that open conversation is amazing. And the way that you were able to bring it down to his level and take one conversation and bring it to where he can relate to it, I think is man, that is good. So I think, man, what you guys are doing is great. How the conversation is just so open. I mean, I can't even relate to that because we weren't that open. But, I mean, I think that's it, just where you create an environment where they can ask questions. And then you're also sensitive enough that when they do ask questions that may not be related to kind of break it down so that they can relate to it. I think, man, what you're doing is exactly what you need to do.
Okay.
Kevin, I also like to add on a bit about what you said, like, you know, when you weren't that close about where I was. I was so, so totally close because when Chris met you, I was in Cleveland. My mom was, like, sitting to our place. Some relatives and their relatives, and while I was being sent, I sent it at my birth father's house, and then he gave me his number, which I lost. Then I was just so nervous, I was so scared to ask him what happened to my real father. What happened to my real mother and all. And then I started feeling, I get you. Okay, you have another, you have another son that, and then what about us too? What about the rest of the family? And then I just feel this stuff a bit too, but you know. That, you know, he has on his son, just like he left my mother. Stuff that I feel like probably did. Because I never seen him with another person. That's all.
One of the things that I did for him was, I have his records, and I was able to keep in contact with his siblings. So he's one of five. And so he has a brother who was adopted by his paternal aunt. And so he got the opportunity to actually meet his biological father and see him. And I think that in itself was a good thing. And I would never say that it was a bad thing, because I think he got the opportunity to see his father and spend time with him. He spent the night with him. But then he came home with questions, again, you know, that I couldn't necessarily answer, but it was something that, you know, he didn't have to wait till he was, you know, in his 20s or 30s or 40s to have happen. But it still begs the question, okay, what actually did happen? Because he wasn't at that age. He was about 6, I think it was. At that age, able to have that conversation and feel comfortable and confident enough to ask those questions. But I think as we have more conversations, just as you were saying, Kevin, the more that we allow him to have the conversations with us, he'll be confident and comfortable in asking the questions as well.
Yeah, I would just add that as long as you're open as a parent and you're just, you know, talking to your kid, to your child as they grow up, I think that helps so much. I mean, that's really what my parents did, and I don't think they could have done anything more. You know, we didn't have a lot of information, but whatever they did know, they always shared with me. They were always upfront. They were always honest, and I think that really helped. You know, it didn't answer my questions. It didn't solve all my identity things that I was wondering about, but it definitely made me feel like they do care about me. They're not trying to hide something from me, and they are supportive of these issues which you know, I was dealing with. So, you know, the more you can share, and if you, as you said, if you can adapt it to the child's age and whatever they're feeling, then that's great, and I think it's important, and I know it definitely helped for me.
Great. I want to make sure that we get any questions or comments in before we end. So are there any more questions or comments from anyone on the call?
This is Evelyn, and I would just like to say, you know, for one, to commend you as well, Sydney, that you're allowing Jamil to have the open conversation. And the only thing I would say, just make sure that you allow it to go beyond just a cognitive level so that he can really deal with what's, you know, the emotions involved.
I think as we're making people aware of the issues related to adoption, it's just really important that we also educate people just even about the terminology that may or may not be comfortable for some adoptees. And you've already talked about two of them, one being the real parents. That's one that just really gets me. And the other is the term giving up, because that to me has a negative connotation, and I always like to say, you know, placed or, you know, make a plan for adoption. Even if it wasn't a plan, they placed or they, you know, allowed the placement. Also, I think for as we share with other potential adoptive parents, it's really important that adoptive parents are clear with their reasons for adopting. I think it's really selfish for an adoptive parent to not even have an issue with a child saying, referring to their birth parent as a parent, you know, or the mom or a dad, just to be able to say, you know, well, I have two moms, I have two dads, or whatever whatever it is that they would prefer to call them, because the adoptive parent got to make a choice, the birth parent got to make a choice in most cases, but the child is the one who didn't. So I believe that the child should be, or the adoptee should be allowed to make the choice of who they want to refer to that person as being without worried about breaking any sense of loyalty or hurting anyone's feelings. And that just bothers me. I have three adults in my life who have searched and found their birth parents, and actually one young adult that I knew when she was pre-adolescent and adolescent has recently found her birth mom, as well as a birth parent who recently found her son at the age of 43 now. So there are so many different issues related to it, but I just think the matter of paying attention to what's going on in the heart, that's just so crucial to me. And I, again, you know, thank Nelson and Kevin. I've already clicked to add you as a Facebook friend. And if you're ever in California, let me know, because I have a television program entitled Visions for a Child's Heart, and these are the exact types of things I'd like to talk about so our young people can see someone and entertain some of those thoughts openly and get them out and live life.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Evelyn. So we'll make sure that I'll make sure that I put that on my Facebook page as well. That you have a site and that you have a show. But I didn't know that. Does anyone else have any comments before we close? Nelson and Kevin?
Sure. I just wanted to say that I think Evelyn, you're right. It's very hard as an adoptee sometimes to kind of make these distinctions, and really, you know, I think what parents, my sense, at least talking to people, is that parents are very scared that their child are going to want to leave or do something else and not really consider them as parents. But I, you know, my personal experience, that was never the case. For me, the people who raised me, my adoptive parents, they were my parents. They took care of me. They loved me. I knew it. They were very open about the circumstances. And, you know, to me, I never, ever really had this idea of, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go with this other family and go stay with them. You know, so I think that fear is maybe blown out of proportion sometimes by adoptive parents, at least, you know, from some people I've talked to. And I think that as a parent, just being open, being honest, having these conversations and realizing that this for an adoptee is really sort of a search about identity, about who you are, and it really doesn't have to do with who your parents are, so to speak, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Anyone else? No? Well, I want to thank everyone for being on the call, especially Kevin and Nelson. It's been really fun, and I'm really excited that we have had the opportunity to record this and make sure that everyone else gets the opportunity to hear the conversation and spread the conversation for adoptees, adoptive parents. And just as Evelyn shared, for people who are considering adoption and some of the things that they should start thinking about before they even adopt a child. So thank you guys for being a part of the conversation and taking my invitation. And I'll make sure that you all get all the information that you need to send this off to other people. So thank you so much again.
Should we go around and say how you can get in touch with us if you ever wanted to reach out and talk to us?
I'm sorry. I would be remiss in not doing that. So go ahead and share your, both of you, I know you have blogs, and if you have a website, share your information.
Kevin, do you want to go first because you were going to say something?
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. I'll share mine. I have actually just finished writing a book about my experiences as a transracial adoptee growing up in Detroit in the 60s and 70s. It's actually a inspiring story, a story of just how successful adoption can be. And although we had struggles, it was, I consider it a huge success. So the name of the book, I also have a website, and the name of the book is Growing Up Black in White, and that's the website, growingupblackinwhite.com. And then I have a blog site, which is mymindonpaper.wordpress.com, and all my contact information is on both of those sites.
My mother is also working on a book. She just finished it up. The story is about how I was separated from my family during the Civil War in El Salvador and sort of our journey to reunite. It also talks about her, my parents' adoptive process, how they went down there, how they got me, and then what it was like for us to reunite with this family in Central America. We have a website, annasmiracle.com. That's A-N-A-S, miracle.com. You can just Google that, and we should come up. You can also connect with me personally. My name is DeWitt N on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. So that's DEWITTN at Gmail as well. So feel free to connect with me, and if you have any other questions that we didn't get to talk to, we'd love to hear them.
And don't forget, Kevin is also on Facebook, so I want to make sure that people know that we're actually on Facebook.
Yes, I live by Facebook.
We're all on Facebook, so you can reach Kevin and Nelson and myself on Facebook. And you can reach me on Facebook, Sydney Gaskin. And my website is sydneygaskins.web.com. So thank you guys again for being a part of this call so much. And I look to doing some other ventures with you all around adoption and families. And I really did enjoy this. So you all have a great evening, and thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sydney.
Thanks for having us.
All right. See ya.